Good morning, friends. This has been a rough week and a half or so in the life of New Hope. And sometimes you have those seasons where it's really tough and you kind of don't really understand why life's unfolding the way it is. And this has kind of been one of those seasons here. And I remember a time when I was just a few years into pastoring, and I was down in southern Michigan. And when I was there, there was a guy in the church where I was pastoring, and he was a single dad. His daughter had graduated from high school not too long ago, and she had been in the youth group, had been baptized in the church. And one day, it's a night, I'm at home, and I get a phone call from a lady I really didn't know, but she had gotten my number, and she says, "Hey, I wanted to just reach out to you. I wanted you to know, because I thought you ought to know, that this gentleman, that his daughter has just been found dead by herself in a ditch creek area not too far from town." And we just kind of lived in a small bedroom-type community town. And so I'm trying to process this in my head. You know, it's just like, excuse me, what? And I told her, "Thank you for letting me know." And she said, "Yep," said, "You're welcome. I just wanted to let you know in case you wanted to follow up with that, do something with that, you know." And I'm like, "Absolutely. Thank you very much for letting me know." So I said, "Okay, bye-bye," and hung up the phone. And I sat there for a second. And it's one of those moments where you feel that you are not equipped and you are not trained and you are not prepared or ready to handle that moment. And that was one of those moments. And so I'm just sort of taking that in and going, I've got to do something with this. And so I went over to his house. He was by himself. The detectives had not made it to his house yet to interview him and talk to him about what had happened. And so I walk into the door of his house, and he's in there, and he's sort of, you know, he kind of lets me in, and then he walks off, and he's out, and he and I are kind of, we have this kind of weird, but there was this distance thing, like where he kind of kept his distance for me, and I didn't step in and try to invade in his space in that moment of just shock and grieving. And so we just kind of had this conversation from afar, if you will. You know, I didn't rush in and give him a hug and say, "I'm so sorry." You know, it was just like he was just in shock in that moment. And as he was talking to me, it was these same type of statements that he kept throwing out to me, which was, "This is not fair. This is wrong. How can this happen? How can a God who is supposed to be a God of mercy not have mercy in this moment? This is my only child." And you just keep that type of not having words, but then when you come up with some type of word, it's a word full with emotion and anger and grief all at the same time, and it's so raw. And I just was in that place with him, and I didn't even try to say anything to try to help him feel better, because I had learned and realized that there is nothing you can say. In that type of moment with someone, your presence is the best gift that you can give to them, because there are no words within the human language or emotion that you can present that is going to calm the grief, the anger, the hurt, the sorrow, the just raw emotion of that moment. And so we were just shared that space in his house as he was crying out for answers, and he was not getting any from God, and he was just utterly broken and hurting. Sometimes there's these moments in life where those things happen. And for some differing degrees, it may not be to that degree. It may not be that tragic, but it may be something else. And it happens, and you're left trying to sit in this space. And there's this temptation in this moment to, and it may be oh so fast, but like this temptation to kind of question and wonder if the confidence that you've had in God is rightly placed. And you go, "Oh, I would never do that." But I'll confess to you here, I've had those moments where it's like, you know, something really hard. Well, I, you know, it's just like, "Hey, I thought this job was going to come through, And I was like, this is the perfect one. I'm like, God, I know you were in this. You know, it's like, in the name of Jesus, I'm praying you're going to give me this. You know, you're just going to give this because it's so right. It's got you written all over it. And then it doesn't happen. You know, and you're going, well, what in the world just happened there? Is there no point in praying? You know, it's like this confidence is like, man, it's confident that in this moment, God's going to do this because I asked for it. You know, you have not because you asked not. You know, it's like you ought to just pray for it and just, it's like, okay. And we have this idea that having a radical confidence in God through our faith should mean that God will do the right, just, fair, equitable thing right now, because I love God with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength. And then we find out that, yes, you do love him with all you got, and yet God didn't do the right, fair, equitable thing that you thought should happen in that moment. And you're wondering, God, is there a point in all of this? Are you kidding me? And the scriptures call us to have a faith that is a radical confidence. But what I want to challenge us today is to say that it's not a confidence that God should do right by people today. That it's not about what we will get today or God will do today to meet our expectations when we desire him to do so, as if creation can constrain the Creator. As if the creation can in any way constrain and restrict and control the Creator of the heavens and the earth. Our confidence is not in being able to do that, or that God would meet us on our playing field and play by our rules, and that faith should be a radical confidence the way that we want it to happen. No. He does not move and have his being at our leisure today. I can't help but think of C.S. Lewis's book, The Chronicles of Narnia. And I believe it's in The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe at the end of the movie when one of the characters, if it's Susie, whoever it is looking out and sees Aslan off in the distance walking the beach, and the character standing next to her says, it's not as though he's a tame lion. It's not as though we can in any way determine, constrain, restrict the God of all of creation. But yet we are called to have this faith, have this radical confidence in this God who does amazing things and who is truly good and who is truly just in all his ways. He is. So with that being said, let me offer us a thought. We think about faith as a radical confidence. That faith is a radical confidence in the future promises of God. I'm not taking anything away that faith is part of today. But faith, when looked at in scriptures, is trusting God in the moments, but it is ultimately looking forward to the fulfillment of the future promises of God. And I want to share with us Hebrews 11, chapter 1. This is a great kind of verse here that, you know, it's like, what does faith mean, you know? And so it's like, hey, here's a thought. So faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. You know, sometimes you have those verses, Bible verses memorized, and you're just like, when you hear it a different way, you're like, oh, yeah, but that's just not what I have in my head, right? Faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you do not see. That was a version that I've had in my head for years, so that's the one I default to. So that's why I say that. But let me give you two connected, but two ideas on this idea, thinking about faith. It was looking forward. Here's one of them. It's this radical confidence of being sure of the end. Being sure of the end. Like I see today and I realize that I'm living in this moment and yes, God is good and, you know, God can do all of this and that is fantastic. And you ought to have confidence and faith that God is able to handle what concerns us today, right? But ultimately, It's this radical confidence in being sure of the end. I want you to look at the screen here, Psalm 27, verse 13. David, it's actually 27, but this is 23. Yeah, so David, wonderfully, at the end of Psalm 27, he writes these words. He says, I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Doesn't that sound good? It does. It does sound real good. Here's what you want to understand. If you go read Psalm chapter 27, what he wrote before that is what really sets the stage for what he says at the end. Because in the beginning, leading up to it, he's writing about how, I can't believe how everybody's treating me so bad and how people are being just so malicious and they're saying bad things and they're just coming against me and it's just not fair and it's just like it ought to not be this way. Da, 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 da. But I remain confident in this. I'm telling you what, I will see. I'm sure of the end, as sure as I'm standing here today. And connected to that, I would give you this. It's being certain. You know what it's like to be certain, right? Like, I'm certain when church is done, I'm going to eat lunch. I'm certain. I know it's going to happen, right? If we were in Michigan, I would say, I am certain that the Detroit Lions are not going to win the Super Bowl this year. We would always hold out hope, and it wouldn't happen. But anyways, I am certain that God has planned a better future for us all than this world can offer us at any point in time. I'm certain of it. God has planned it, therefore it shall come to pass. I don't even doubt it at all. I know it. Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 18. Look at this. Paul says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Like Paul's saying, look, I'm telling you what right now, today is really hard and today stinks, but I tell you what, when I look forward to the end, I am certain that what God's going to do on there on that last day and the glory of God revealed in us, I'm telling you what, it's going to be better than anything you ever know that you're going through. I'm telling you, you just got to trust it and be certain and know, be sure of the end and certain that what he's got is going to far outweigh and be better than anything this world could promise you, tempt you with, to try to influence you, to put your hope in. Amen. You be certain of that. God's got it, and it's better. Don't be fooled by something that promises good, but it's going to end up being empty. Well, in the book of Hebrews, where I started this, in Hebrews 11, 1, is a chapter that is often referred to as the Hall of Faith. You've heard me say that before. And in that chapter, the author gives a list of people. It's a bunch of people, man, bunch. And there's a list of people that have been commended for having this great faith, trusting in God. And one of the characters that the author picks out is Noah. You guys know Noah, right? And he picks out Noah. And he says in Hebrews 11, verse 7, he says, by faith Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. Can you imagine yourself being Noah? God says, you need to build an ark. And the dimensions of this are outrageous. Could you imagine the amount of faith to step out and to build that to that scope in the midst of a ton of people being all around you, looking at you, talking to you, gossiping behind your back? Because I'm pretty sure that's not a 21st century invention. And just razzing you, giving you a hard time, calling you that you're dumb and ignorant and you're a fool. Because you know people had to have been doing this stuff with him building this ark as big as this deal was, right? It's like, yeah, it rains sometimes, Noah, but I don't know, man. That seems a bit kind of silly and overkill to me, dude. Like, what are you doing, man? But he builds it anyways. Why might he have built it? I think, and now looking back, right, I think maybe real simple. Talk about a radical confidence. Well, because God said... Good starting point. God said that this is going to happen. So I'm sure that if God says this is going to happen, then I need to be obedient between here and there. And I'm going to have this confidence to trust God that when God says that this is going to happen, it's going to come to pass, and I'm going to get to experience that. So I'm going to be obedient and do what he says. I'm going to have this radical confidence. And you can tell me that I'm crazy, and I don't make any sense, and you think I'm a weirdo, and you think I'm wasting my time and all of that. And that's fine. You can think that way if you want. But I'm telling you what, God honors his word. And when God says yes, he means yes. And when God says no, he means no. Well, I love it because Hebrews don't stop there. He just goes right into Abraham. And he says, you know what? He said, Abraham, he was in his home. And God said, I want you to leave and I want you to go to the place I'm going to show you. And I'm going to bless your descendants. There are going to be so many, right, that you just won't even be able to count them. Now, I got two kids. I can't even imagine. I'm just kidding. I'm not going to go there with that. But there he is. And can you imagine being Abraham's family? Abraham, just think for a second. I mean, this is crazy. Because he says, hey, family, we're going to leave here and we're going to go. Well, where are we going? Because, you know, he's a patriarch kind of, you know, if his family is like, so where are we going to go? Because they would want to ask him because he would be the one responsible for that. Well, I don't know. Okay. How long is it going to take us to get there? Well, I don't know. So you want us to go somewhere and you don't really know where it's going to be and you don't know how long it's going to take us to get there and really don't even know then if we don't know where we're going, then how do we even know which way to go, right? Because you don't... Yeah. Why? I love it. Why? Radical confidence. God said, that's your starting point, to go. He would do. So if God said, go and do, what am I going to do? I'm going to go and do. Why? Because I'm sure of the end, and I'm certain that what God has already planned in the future is going to be far better than anything back here in Babylon area that we could ever dream of experiencing. So guess what I'm going to do? I'm just going to go. Now, we love those stories, don't we? I mean, it's like, yes, man, this is great. Because we teach our kids these stories, right? I mean, have faith, trust God, go and do as the Lord says. Be obedient to God, absolutely. And we love those, and that's great. But you know what? Not every story turned out that way. For those who chose to go and do, to have this radical confidence. I mean, Hebrews 11:35, part of the way through that verse, listen to this. This is crazy. There were others who were tortured, refusing to be released so that they might gain an even better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, living in caves and in holes in the ground. And if you went on to verse 39, you would see that it says that not one had received what had been promised. They believed that God will honor his promises. They looked forward. They didn't base their confidence in God on the moment because they knew that if I'm faithful in the moment, that I'm sure and certain that in the future, God will honor his promises and I will experience the blessing with God. So I'm going to go through whatever it takes to go through today because I trust God. A radical confidence. This all sounds good, doesn't it? But what is this actually saying about what you believe then? Deeper than just saying, well, God said, so I'm going to go and do. Now, I'm telling you what, by and large, that is the best starting point I think that you can have is to just trust God, his word, and just be obedient and follow him. Yet, what does this say perhaps about what we believe in our faith? And I love that. Here's some thoughts that I have on this I want to share with us. I think that this confidence that we have, this radical confidence, says that we are worshiping a God who is powerful enough to protect our eternal inheritance in spite of the hardships and suffering in this life. I trust God. He is powerful enough that nothing can overcome him. I believe. If you look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, look at this. Paul says to Timothy, he goes, I know whom I have believed and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. I love that. Because watch, here's what we're saying. What we're saying is that, you know what? There is absolutely nothing in this world that can happen or come to pass by the hands of man or any evil forces that will ever invalidate or undo the promises of God for what He will bring to pass in the future by His Word. That, guess what? There is no power in heaven or hell that can ever undo, overcome the kingdom of God. The Lord reigns on the throne, and there is nothing, no one, nobody, no how, no where that can ever undo that. The Lord is the Lord. That's a radical confidence. It says, why can I go and do? Because I know that when I go, I know that the Lord is reigning victorious on His throne. I don't have to worry about anything overcoming what God's doing or His church or what He's called me to do. And nothing can make the Spirit stop or sit down or quit, whatever. No. God will do what God chooses to do, so I don't have anything to worry about. I just can stand up, take a breath, inhale grace, exhale worship, and just keep going because I know the Lord is reigning on the throne. Hallelujah, amen. I'm just going to go. Well, I'm not done yet. And aren't you glad? Can I come back over here this week? Might as well, right? We do it every other week. Might as well do it again today. A radical confidence says, when I think of what Jesus Christ, my Savior, did on this cross, I know that what He did was complete. He didn't halfway forgive me. He didn't three-quarters of the way forgive me. He 100% of the way forgave me. And I know that this cross means that I have a testimony, I have a sign that says not only how much God loves you, which God does love you, and may you always see that when you look to the cross, but I have a sign, a symbol in my faith that says I can believe God at His Word because He had already determined ahead of time that this is what He would do to redeem humanity and draw them to Himself, into a relationship with Him where they could enjoy life with Him and His kingdom forever and ever. And we just look at this cross and we hold on to it and we say, thank You, Jesus, for what You've done. Man, I'm not worthy, but God, thank You for what You've done. And thank You that You didn't stay on this cross, but that you rose from the dead 3 days later, and You declared and You proved to the world that You forever and ever had authority over sin and the powers of darkness. You overcame the grave. See, nobody else has ever done that. And that separates Christianity from the religions and the faiths of the world. So historically and biblically, we have proof and the authoritative word that says to us, I can trust God. I can trust Him. He's got it. He's already shown me there's nothing He can't handle. And I know who I belong to, and I know where I belong. Maybe nobody says it better than Paul, 2 Corinthians here. Therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. Paul's like, folks, I know we're living in this world, and I know it's not always easy, and I know sometimes there's heartache, and I know sometimes there is injustice, and there is evil, and there is bad that happens, and things that you wish had not and had gone a different way, but it didn't. But I'm telling you, I know beyond a doubt, I am confident of who I belong to and where I'm going. I know I'm going to the Lord. I know where I'm going. And as long as I'm here in this place, I will do what I can to honor God and be faithful to God. And I know He's not done with me yet because I haven't gone home yet. So I got to do some of what I got. And in that radical confidence, I would live being certain and sure of what God has said and then saying, Lord, when You say go, because You said it, I'm going to go and do because I can trust You. Faith, a radical confidence. Now, here's a word of warning. Let me put on the back side of this thing. Don't let your confidence become cockiness. The last thing the world needs is cocky Christians. It's true. Don't let your confidence become cockiness. Don't buy into the deception that because, you know, and we could, I'll just say it real fancy, you know, because my theology is so good and I know what Jesus is and what he's going to do, then I don't have to worry about everybody else in church because I'm good right here myself. I got Jesus. I don't need anybody else. I am golden. That is the worst lie you could tell yourself. That's cockiness. Do not let your confidence in Christ towards the future promises of God become cockiness in how you walk in your day and how you relate to the body of Christ. The truth is that we need one another. And when we are together, that our hope for the future with Christ is strengthened by the people who share our faith. And I'm going to tell you what, right now, you already know this. So let me tell you something you already knew. Isn't that always fun? Let me tell you something you knew. You already knew this, and you already been experiencing this. Look, over about a year or so ago, when things started to kind of just fall apart, all right, we'll just call it like that, leave it alone, right? When things were just, it was getting rough and getting rocky. And here's the deal. When I listen to the stories, and I look back, and I look at you right now, and I look at what's happening, and I listen to you, and I watch interactions together. I know this is true because I can tell you that you decided that when you were going through it and it was like hell in a handbasket and it felt unfair, it felt wrong, it felt unjust. It felt like, hey, if God is Lord of this church, then he should handle this and we should not have to go through all of this. If God is so good and he's so merciful, why doesn't he intervene and stop this from happening? Why do we need to have this kind of conflict in a church? But you decided it is what it is. The Lord is the Lord of the church. He has said we are to go about and make disciples. He called us to be a people of God who would go forth in his name. So we're not quitting. We're not putting a sign on the door that says we're going home. We've closed up shop. We're done. No, sir. We are going to continue to push on because God has said go and do. So we will go and we shall do unto the glory of God. And we will reach people in the name of Jesus Christ in this community because we believe that the power of God is more powerful than any force in this world. And if we can lead people to be introduced to Jesus and they can know the love of Jesus Christ and the message of that cross, the power of the resurrection, and the hope that God will put in their hearts by his Spirit, Romans chapter 5, that we can keep going on and on. And we know God will fulfill his promises. We don't need to worry about it. We don't need to fret about it. We just need to keep on keeping on. And you got in your small groups and you stayed together and you kept doing time together with meals and hanging out together and loving on each other and visiting one another in the hospital when you're sick and blowing up my phone when you are having with your texts about people who are sick and in the hospital. I love it. It's hilarious, but I love it. My phone has never dinged as much as it does here. I'm serious. But I love it because what it tells me is that you guys get it, that you need each other and that you're better when you are with one another and you journey together towards the final day when Christ says, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your Lord. He said, we got it. We're going to keep going. We ain't stopping now. We just need somebody to come in and shepherd us and help lead us and preach the word to us and help us grow in our faith and encourage us because we know where we're going and we ain't stopping. And y'all are crazy enough, and you picked me. Yeah, right? That's one of those times where you hope you don't get an amen, and you do. I want to give you a word of wisdom here on this. I have a few of those I can. I try to ration them. You don't get them all at once, because then you got nothing later, right? So I give you out some wisdom once in a while. Satan may tempt you to doubt God's trustworthiness and his faithfulness. You know, when I started and I said, I've had those moments where I wonder, is it really worth praying? And so, sometimes it's not but like a fraction of a second, right? I mean, because don't walk out of here and go, well, my pastor, his faith's pretty weak. He sometimes wonders if he should even pray. And we're following this guy? Are we weird? Maybe. But anyways, that's another point. You know, that fraction of a second where you just kind of wonder, is this really working? And your faith's strong enough. You're like, yeah, it's working. You know, it's like, ah, pfft, go away. Like, I know it's right. But you just have that fraction where you just kind of maybe wonder. Well, at least I have had those moments. I had a colleague of mine, who's a friend of mine. He gave me some words of wisdom I want to pass along to you. I was like, oh, you know, the light bulb goes off. And here's what he told me. He said, don't doubt in the darkness what you knew to be true in the light. Don't doubt in the darkness what you knew to be true in the light. So when you stand or you sit in that dark moment when it is unfair and it is wrong and it is awfully hurtful and painful and you're at a loss for words and you don't have answers and you can't fix it, you can't make it go a different way, and you're just sitting where you are and it's hard and it's really painful, that in that moment of darkness when you don't have understanding, and guess what? You're not going to have understanding sitting in the darkness. But you in that darkness, don't doubt what you knew to be true in the light. You get it? So when you were over here and it was all good and you knew the promise of God and you were sitting on Sunday morning church and going, amen, preach it, brother. You believed it then. You had a radical confidence. I believe that I know that I know how it's going to end. I'm certain it's going to be better than what I got today. I know it. I know. Okay, well, when you're sitting in it and it stinks, don't start doubting then what you knew to be true when you stood in the light and it was a whole lot easier and simpler and more comfortable in life. Because here's the deal. God hasn't changed. His word has not changed. His love has not changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is a God of eternality, which means he does not change because he's eternally the same. This is our God. Numbers 23:19. Just so you don't think I'm making this up, we'll just go to the Word. Look at this. God is not human that he should lie, not a human being that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? Our God is a faithful, unchanging God. So don't doubt in the darkness what you knew to be true in the light. I'm thankful that as a church, when you sat in that dark time, that you didn't doubt, maybe not for too long, what you knew to be true when you were in the light and it was a whole lot easier. And when you're broken, don't doubt in your brokenness what you knew to be true in the light. We will not always have smooth seas here at New Hope. It's impossible. You just can't have it. That's not a fair expectation for any group of people on a journey together. There's going to be times where there's going to be conflict. There's going to be hardship. There's going to be things where you just like you don't agree, or it's like somebody says something or they do something and you get your feelings hurt or whatever. You know, I mean, it's like we get that. It's church. It's just like a big family. Those things happen in families. But don't doubt in those hard times that you love each other. The very thing you knew to be true when you were standing over here and there was peace. Don't doubt the power and the truth of love to shape a future for you that is better than anything you could have ever hoped or dreamed or imagined could be. Hold on to love. That's hard, isn't it? It's tough. It's a challenging word. At least it is for me. But that's what I share with us today. As we think about faith, it is a radical belief in the identity and the works of Jesus Christ. But it's also this radical confidence toward what God is going to fulfill in the end. And we have to keep our eyes affixed towards what he's going to do and believe in his promises. And don't doubt him. Well, with that being said, I ask, would you stand with me? And before we sing, I'm going to have it's a brief sort of statement of faith and prayer that I'd love for us to recite together as a corporate body this morning. All right. This is it. This is all it is. It's really short, right? But I think it speaks to the word that we've heard today. Let's read this out loud together. I believe Christ is who he says he is. I believe Christ will do what he says he will do. God, help us live as a community who is sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Strengthen our hope as we wait for the return of Christ. And he is returning, my friends. He certainly is. Amen. As our worship team comes, would you join me in a word of just a prayer for us as we come out of our sermon and we respond back to God in song here. God, thank you for a time that we could open up your word, that we could see it as it speaks into the hardship sometimes and the trials and the things that are unfair and unjust in life. Thank you for reminding us that even though life doesn't always go the way we think it should or want it to, that you are still a God who is faithful and true and can be trusted, and you invite us to not doubt what we knew to be true even though life gets hard. You invite us to keep looking towards what you have yet to do. You're a God who's not done. You're a God who's moving and working, and we're so grateful that you have invited us to be a part of that journey through our salvation. Blessed be the name of the Lord our God. Amen.